Chapter themes for the Gospel of John. The chapter theme for chapter 11 is resurrection. Resurrection. I am the resurrection. That's what we're going to be looking at today. All right, if everybody is there, just follow along with me as I read this passage of Scripture. John chapter 11. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They say unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. We'll take a look at that in just a few minutes. Good to see you all here this morning. 268. This now talks about Jesus, his resurrection power in our lives every day. Christ liveth in me. 268.
Once more, my
done reading, chapter 11, verse 1. John chapter 11, starting there at verse 1. We have been looking at several messages concerning the title of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he says the words, I am. And he says that I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. We want to look today at the title of I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. You know, no one else could say that. I can't say it. You can't say it. I am the resurrection. Imagine a mere mortal saying such a thing as that. I am the resurrection. I have no way at all to bring myself up out of that grave. And nobody yet that I've ever met who's died could get back up out of that coffin. I've gone to many funerals, and I've seen the dead body laid out there, and the coffin lid up. And never once has anyone gotten up out of there. No one has ever gotten up. Oh, I remember as a child when my grandmother died, whom I love very much, still love very much, can't wait to see her. She'll be one of those who comes in the rapture. I thought for sure when I looked at her while the preacher was preaching, I thought for sure I could see her breathing while she was laying in that casket. You ever do that when you were a kid? Boy, it looks like the lungs are going up and down. She was as dead as could be. It's just my imagination taking over, you know, as a young child that I was. And hoping that maybe she's still alive. No. Never have I seen it. But do you know there is one who can say of himself, I am the resurrection and the life. You better know this one as your personal Savior from sin, or you have no hope. And you will experience, oh, there will be a resurrection of you if you die without Christ. There'll be a resurrection of you. But you will only be raised up in order to experience a second death, which is eternal lake of fire and separation from God for all eternity. Oh, you need to trust in this one who will raise you and give you a new body and a new existence with himself up there in glory, in heaven, for all eternity. Now, I know that the Lord has a lot of things he's going to do yet for Israel on the earth, and he's going to come back and set up a kingdom. But for us during this church age, folks, the hope is to be raised to go be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And also, there's another hope, too, and that is if the rapture doesn't take place and you die ahead of the rapture, rapture event, which the Bible talks about, if you die before that event, your body will be laid to rest in the grave, but your soul and spirit will go to be with the Lord, to be with Him until He does come back in the rapture. He'll bring your soul and spirit with Him and raise your old dead body out of the ground. In the twinkling of an eye, change it. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Then we which are alive and remain will be dealt with after that. And all that's going to take place so fast that the world won't know what happened. And they'll have some kind of explanation for it, I'm sure. But nevertheless, it's going to take place. I often wonder, how's the world going to explain it when I hear them making fun of it from time to time, you know? What will they do with the incident that's going to take place? I know not the answer. I just know it's going to take place. And they will do they'll do something with it. I don't know what. Oh, what a day. Isn't it great to be a Christian and to know these things and to be looking forward to them? I mean, I know that the rapture is going to take place so assuredly, just as much as I know that Jesus was born of a virgin and walked on this earth and died on the cross. I know that that event is going to happen in the future as well as I know Jesus was born, lived, died, rose up from the grave for my sins. Because it's all in here. It's all in the Bible. Well, in verse 1 here, a man named Lazarus is sick. Notice the name of the town. It says Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. I mean, that's how the Bible refers to the town. I wonder, what town do you live in, you know? I live in Whitehall. Some of you live here in Catasauqua. Some of you come from further away. Is the town known by God as the town of Gary Freeman? The town of Donna Freeman? The town of whatever person we want to put in there. The Bible gives it right here. Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Amen for that. That's how God sees things from heaven's point of view. In verse 3, it says that the sisters had their brother Lazarus, and he was sick. He was very sick. And in verse 3, they sent a small message to the Lord. Verse 3, therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Small message, but it tells a lot about the relationship that Mary and Martha had with the Lord Jesus Christ. They called him Lord, Lord. And then they said, behold, he whom thou lovest. Does the Lord love you? Are you loved of the Savior? Oh, he loves his own. And he loves us even unto death. He gave his life for us. That's how much he loves us. He loves us. Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now, verse 4 says, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. I don't know what these faith healers do with that verse of Scripture there, by the way. Lazarus' sickness was to glorify God. Now, if you get on the TV and some of these programs where they're always asking you for money, you know, and they're always saying, put your seed faith in here. In other words, put your seed faith in an envelope and send all your money to me. That's really what they mean. And why, God will do all this for you. And you should never take that sickness unto yourself. That's of the devil. That's of the world. And on they go with all that stuff. What do they do with this? Here the Bible says this sickness was for the glory of God. For the glory of God. Faith healers are all wrong when they say it is not God's will that you be sick. They're wrong. Sometimes it is God's will for you to be sick. Through your sickness, he's going to glorify himself. Now, I know there are other reasons in the Bible for sickness, such as disciplining hand of God. He may be doing it for that. Another one is simply that we live in a cursed world. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned, sickness is in the world. And you're all going to get sick somewhere along the line. You're going to get colds and flus and whatever. And if you're already weakened, maybe by old age or by some other malady, a flu can be that which does you in, you know, and takes you off into eternity. What's with these guys? You know what? If they're true, if what they're saying is true, they should never physically die. They should grow to be 200 years old. And they don't. Why, even these faith healers die. What did they do? Did they take that sickness? Did they take that sin back unto themselves? Did they disobey their own teaching? You know what? It all comes down to this. They're wrong. They're scripturally wrong. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, tells us that he prayed to the Lord 3 times that this problem in the flesh he had would be taken from him. And the Lord responded and said, my grace is sufficient for thee, and I will honor myself through what I'm doing with you. And the Apostle Paul said, well then, if the Lord will get the honor and glory through my weakness in the flesh, then amen. So be it. I don't know. Don't these guys read all the Word of God? I don't understand it. But all things, even sickness, take place to glorify God. Romans 8, verse 28. If you take a look at that, some of you know it by heart. Some of you are very familiar with it and go to it quite often when you have troubles that come your way. Romans 8, verse 28. Listen to this verse. And we know that all things work together for good. All things, yes, even sickness, work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Yeah, sometimes we got to see it's His purpose. Not, well, Lord, you know what? If you keep allowing this to happen, then this is going to take place. I don't think you know what you're doing. Oh, no. No, no. Don't think like that. Realize that all things take place to glorify God. Well, after Jesus gets the news that Lazarus is sick, he tarries 2 days. That's what verses 5 through 10 teach us. That he didn't right away take a trip to go see Lazarus. Verse 5 says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister. Notice Jesus loved them. You know, this is something you need to realize. Jesus loves you. He loves you. There's no one else in the world who loves you like Jesus loves you. No one else. In fact, when no one else loves you, Jesus still loves you. That's what I like about the gospel message. That's what's so good about preaching the gospel. It is for everybody. You're not just preaching to something for certain individuals. He loves. There's no one who loves like the Lord Jesus Christ loves. The disciples were concerned over his welfare. They said, Lord, if we go down there, don't you know they tried to stone you the last time that we went down there? And then Jesus gives them a little rebuke in verses 9 and 10 and says, listen, disciples, we've got to do the work of the Lord while it's day. We can't be going and hiding and things like that. We've got to do the work of the Lord now while it's day. By the way, that's what we need to do. Work for the Lord while it's day. At nighttime, people stumble, the Lord says, because there is no light in him. Well, these things, verse 11, it says, said he, and after that he saith to them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. Well, the disciples were saying to him, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Yeah, isn't that what the doctor usually tells you? You go home, take two aspirins, a glass of water, and rest. he does well, Lord, if he sleeps. Why would you want to go wake him out of his sleep? That's what he needs. Verse 13, it says, howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is dead, and we're going to go and raise him up from the grave. He didn't say that plainly, though. But he did say to them, verse 15, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. It almost sounds like the Lord doesn't care. It almost sounds like the Lord's a little bit out of sorts here maybe with Lazarus. Well, I'm kind of glad I wasn't there. No, the Lord has a purpose for his delay. And sometimes when you are praying and asking the Lord for something, and there's a delay and no answer, you can be sure the Lord has a purpose behind a delay. And it's going to bring honor and glory unto him. We don't always get what we want, do we? Do you always get what you want? you just think it and it comes to you because you're a Christian? Or do you find that there are a lot of times I don't get the things just the way I like them? You better rethink this and thank the Lord you don't get them just the way you would like them. Because it may not always be the right way. Especially if it's not in God's plan or purpose. And so when the Lord delays, that's all right. We have to learn to trust in the Lord. And then verse 15 does say, nevertheless, let us go unto him. And so then Thomas says in verses 16, let's go with him, everybody. We'll just die with him. They thought the worst was about to take place. And then verse 17 through 18, we find that Lazarus is dead already. And he was in the grave for 4 days, verse 17 says. And they were walking. They didn't take any other type of way to get there. They went to Bethany, which was nigh unto Jerusalem. And we find that Jesus now gets opportunity to talk with Martha and Mary. Many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. I tell you what, though. Many people can try and comfort you, but none can comfort you like the Lord Jesus Christ can. It's good for Mary and Martha that Jesus came. Even after Lazarus is dead, it's still good that Jesus came to comfort them as well. And oh, what a comfort it would be. Now, the comfort of the world will only help for just a little bit, but Jesus will help for eternity. I'm going to get ahead of myself here a little bit, but would you go down to verse 31? Then the Jews, which were with them in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, she rose up and went out. Down to verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said, Lord, come and see. And then the smallest verse in our Bible, verse 35, Jesus wept. Now, the word up there, verse 33, Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, is a different word than the word wept in verse 35. The weeping in verse 33 is a crying out with a loud voice, oh, you know, that kind of wailing and weeping. And they would do this back in that day. It's part of their way of living, culture, I guess you could say. When someone would die in the family, your neighbors and friends would come over and cry with you, with loud wailing, with loud noises coming out. The word in verse 35 for Jesus wept is a lower inward type of weeping. A soft, not loud, and you know, weeping out with all hopelessness, but a gentle inside murmuring, I guess you could say, or groaning. And later on it says down in verse 38, Jesus therefore again groaning in himself. Note, again groaning in himself. He had done that before, yep, up there in verse 35. And now he's again groaning. Why is he weeping like this? I believe that Jesus wept over the hopelessness that the people had around the death of Lazarus. When he, the resurrection and life, is standing right there in front of them. Here they are. Oh! We're crying with you, Mary and Martha. Yeah, oh, Lazarus is dead. For 4 days, they've been wailing and weeping like this. And now, here stands the very one who is the resurrection and the life. He can conquer the power of the grave. Standing right there, he knowing it, Jesus wept. Isn't it something that the King James writers put that all by itself and said, we'll give that just one verse. Verse 35, Jesus wept. If you want to memorize Scripture, you usually start with that one, right? And get that down, you're all right. What a great verse. Jesus wept. And if you die without trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it must break the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Realizing He went to the cross for your sins, paid for in full, went into the grave for 3 days and 3 nights, and then up from the grave He arose, conquering the penalty of sin, which is death, conquering the power of the grave by breaking its hold on Him. And in so doing, He was simply the first fruits, because there would be many more then who would follow Him, rising up from the grave unto everlasting life as well. He led captivity captive, the Bible says. Up from the grave He arose. He conquers the grave. And there He stands there with Martha and Mary and the weeping going on, knowing He's the one who has the key or the power over this very problem they're all crying about. Jesus wept. And when He goes to the grave, sight again, groaning in Himself, cometh to the grave. You know, a whole study could be done on what must it have been like to be Jesus in the body that He was in, walking among men on this earth, seeing the hopelessness of us all, walking among us, hanging on that cross and looking down upon them. And you know He did that. I'm not just making that up. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And He sees John with his mother Mary, and He says, John, behold your mother. And Mary, He says, behold your son. And from that day forth, John took care of Mary. You know, how it must have just hurt him to watch the ways of men in sin as he, the answer, the I am. You know, I am the life, the resurrection, the door, the chief shepherd, the light of the world. to the woman at the well, I am He, I am the Messiah. And they just couldn't see. They couldn't understand. Oh, the joy in heaven when one finally does understand and accepts the gospel message and says, I am the sinner for whom Jesus came. I now trust Him as my Savior. The Bible says there's joy in heaven among the angels when one sinner repenteth and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Oh boy. But until then, there must be such feelings of, like the Lord here, groaning and weeping for those who do not see Him for who He is. Well, going back here to Martha's discussion with the Lord, verse 20, soon as she heard Jesus was there, she went out to meet Him. Verse 21, she says, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now, they knew about the miracle powers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. And Martha just responds, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. They had the understanding there would be a general resurrection in the end, in the last day. Then in verse 25 and 26, Jesus just lets it out. Pours it out to her. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead. Now that's a direct reference to Lazarus. I mean, he's dead. He is dead. He's been in that grave 4 days. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now the next verse is somebody else. And whosoever liveth, whoever's alive right now, Martha, that'd be you, and Mary, your sister, and all these people weeping with you here, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Martha, I want to know, do you believe this right now? Are you grabbing a hold of this right now? Do you know that you, through believing in me, shall never die? Never die? And even if you're already dead, ye shall live. That refers to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Job, the oldest book in the Bible, most likely. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that at the latter day I shall see Him with mine eyes. I'll see Him, and not another. In my flesh shall I see God. He had that belief in the Old Testament. And Martha was just hanging on to that. Yeah, I know in the last day everybody will rise up. But Jesus says, but I am the resurrection and the life. And right now, through belief in me, you can have the assurance that you will never die. Now, obviously he wasn't talking about physical death. He's talking about spiritual death, eternal separation from God. He's talking about having life everlasting. Like John 3:16 talks about, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now listen, I know a lot of people who have received the gospel according to John 3:16 who are now dead in the grave. I mean, their body is dead. It's already decomposed and gone. If you dug down there, you wouldn't even find them. They're living. They're alive. They're with the Lord. Their soul and spirit is alive with the Lord. Just like the Lord told in Luke chapter 16 that a certain beggar named Lazarus died. And the angels came. Now they buried him, but the angels came and took him, his body and soul, into Abraham's bosom. He's alive. And he'll always be alive and never die. But the rich man in hell, they buried his body too. But the Bible says in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torments. And folks, it's never said about that man that he's going to live forever. He's going to experience what is called a second death according to the book of Revelation. And he's going to live in a existence eternally separated from God and the eternal life and living and the joy and the blessing, absence from sin. He's going to be the opposite in a place called hell. And it's not called life, it's called death, a second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. It doesn't say that about the believers. We have everlasting life with God for all eternity. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? What beautiful words. And that has reference to right now, by the way. You don't get this everlasting life. Well, after I die, if I'm, you know, and a lot of ifs there, you know, if I did everything I was supposed to do and if I was good enough, hopefully I'll have everlasting life. No, you get everlasting life right now. You live in the realm of everlasting life right now while you're living, breathing, and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You're enjoying everlasting life. I know your body's going to die, but that just ushers you into the next step of everlasting life, so it's not a problem. And those of you who are saved, you're not... Now, you may not like the way you might have to die, you know, but you're not afraid of dying because you know that you're going to be with God for all eternity. You have everlasting life. And death just ushers you into that next realm in which you will enjoy everlasting life with the Lord. And not only that, this body that you're going to put in the grave, He's going to raise it up and change it. So that I can have a body and live with my soul and spirit in a body without sin or mortality or corruption anymore. That song we sang, how that the saved who were sown in weakness. You know, how often do we take the bodies of the saints out to the graveyard, to the cemetery, and while we take them out, we say, you know, they had a hard life. Whatever killed them, you know, whatever disease, maybe an accident, whatever. We take them out there, and we say, we put that body in the ground. For there's coming a day, it's going to be raised up out of that ground and changed in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye, never to know the troubles that they had while they were here. You ever go to a funeral and the people say, well, she's better off now. That's only true for the saved. It's only true for the saved. I have such a hard time figuring out what to say when I go to a funeral and I know the guy's lost. I mean, he's lost as the day is old, you know. He's died wicked. You know he didn't trust Jesus Christ as Savior. And someone comes up and says, oh, you know, brother so-and-so, he's better off now. And I'm saying, in the flames of fire. That's what I like to say. You mean in the flames of fire of hell he's better off? I'm like, no, I never say that. You know, I never come back like that. I can do it while I'm preaching, but I wouldn't do it in the funeral home, you know. And I just couldn't do it. I wouldn't be able to do that. And I don't know that my Savior ever did it like that either. And so I'm not going to do it. But in my mind I'm saying, they're not better off. They're worse off now. Oh, when do you get better off? Now, while you're alive, trusting Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life. Whosoever liveth and believeth, I mean, that's something you're doing right now, living and believing right now in me, shall never die. Believest thou this? Well, I'm just going to go a lot further in this passage to close up with this. Jesus goes to the grave. He requests that the stone be moved to the side. And he prays unto the Lord, his Father, up in heaven in verses 41 and 42. And he says, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, Father. I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. You know what that tells me? Jesus said things on purpose. He said things in front of people on purpose. Yeah, good preachers will do that too, you know. They say things on purpose. to people that are in front of them. I need to say this for their benefit. I think the preacher's just preaching at me today. Well, you know, you need to say some things on purpose as a preacher. And just say it out there, put it out there. Whoever it applies to, that's good for them. Well, he says, Lord, I'm glad that this all happened. I'm glad that Lazarus died. I'm glad he died. Imagine that. I'm glad he died. I'm glad he's been in the grave for 4 days now and he stinks and everybody thinks there's no hope here. And listen to the crying and the wailing going on. Lord, I'm thankful. You know, and on he goes. And then he says, Lazarus, come forth. Good thing he said Lazarus, otherwise the whole place would have emptied out. He just called one person out of that graveyard that day. You know, there is coming a day when he will call forth all the souls of men. He's coming in the rapture to take out the saved. But then he's going to come back. And he's going to call out all the dead. This is after the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Now we have the great white throne judgment to take place. And he's going to call out from the graves, come forth! Oh boy. And the sea will give up the dead which are in them. And death and hell, where the rich man is, will deliver up the dead in them. And the graves will open up and deliver up the bodies of them all. And their soul and spirit will be put back together. And they're going to be standing before the great white throne judgment of God someday. Who's going to do it? The same one who said, Lazarus, come forth, is going to say, all right, everybody out. What a day. And they're going to stand there before the judge of all the earth, lost, only to die in eternal death again. How about it? I'd rather be called like Lazarus was. The saved being called out. How about it? Then slip over to chapter 12 and we'll close with this, okay? I know what time it is. Chapter 12, verse 9. After Lazarus was raised up from the grave, this would be days later, the Lord's in the town again. He's in the house of Mary and Martha. Verse 9, much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. What kind of guys are these? This guy already died once. Hey, let's kill that Lazarus again. You know what? If God wanted to, he could have Lazarus rise and die and rise and die like a ping pong ball out of that grave if he wanted to with these guys, you know, and conquering death each and every time if he wanted to. Lazarus would die again, but the thing that you need to see here is that now there was a man named Lazarus who experienced death and rose up from the grave, who was giving witness to the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who conquers the grave. And that caused people a lot of trouble. Why am I saying this? Because I would say this. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you sit here this morning and you say, preacher, you know what? I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Maybe it was a long time ago. Maybe it was just recently. Some of you can give the time and date. Some of you can say, I know the exact moment when I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Some of you can say, well, I can get pretty close to it. I can remember. It was long ago. But I know that I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. You know what? You are actually like Lazarus. You have risen to new life in Christ. You're the ones in verse 26. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You're those people. Lazarus is one of those who died already and the Lord raised him up from the grave. Those of you who are saved already, you're walking around. You're the living dead. You're the living dead. We were dead in trespasses and sins, the Bible says, but now we're alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord, and we're walking and talking like Lazarus is in our passage here, saying, imagine some of the conversations. People coming by, hi Jesus, where's Lazarus? Almost like Jesus is sitting in the background. They wanted to see Jesus, Lazarus. Hey Lazarus, what was it like? In the grave there. Well, I couldn't see anything. I wasn't conscious. I was dead. How could you stand the smell of yourself? I wasn't breathing. I didn't have to worry about smelling. Boy, you sure did smell. Those grave clothes sure did stink. I bet you Lazarus, probably the first thing he wanted to do was get a bath, right? He probably wanted to get a... I don't think they had showers back then, but he probably wanted to get a bath right quick. You know what? When you get saved, you want to get rid of those old grave clothes, the old ways. I want to live the new life for Christ. And I want to tell you what Jesus Christ did for me. He washed my sins away, and He's given unto me a new life in Christ. Boy, I want to live for the Lord now. And everybody might want to come around and hear your testimony. But I tell you what, there's always also going to be those who want to say, let's get rid of this Christian. He sure is a pain in the neck. All he ever talks about is getting saved from sin, going to heaven. He carries that Bible around, talking about Jesus all the time. Amen. Keep on doing that. The dead do need to hear it. And they may even... terrorize you and say, we're going to put you to death as soon as we get a chance. They do that, by the way, and they have done that all down through the ages since the first person trusted Jesus Christ till now. They've been persecuting Christians, some even dying for the cause of Christ. That's what it's like to be risen in Christ and be a testimony for Him. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Him shall never die. How about you? You saved? You have everlasting life? If not, we'd like to help you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. In your hymn book, there's a good song, number 559. Let Jesus come into your heart. 559. If you're here today and not saved, we'd like to help you trust Christ as your personal Savior. What we'll do is, we'll just ask you to come forth and meet me down at the front here, and we'll have someone help you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Trust in the great I Am, the resurrection and the life, and go out of here with everlasting life instead of wondering where you're going to go when you do die. By the way, you are going to die, so you need to get this matter settled. Number 559, let's stand as we sing. If you need to be saved, step right out. We'd love to help you. If you are tired of the load of your sin, let Jesus come into your heart. Fellowship together. Help us to go forth out of here as people who are alive from the dead, alive in Christ, and spread this good news of eternal life to any who will listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.